serve and love, and we give our lives to you. We just ask that you help us to grow in increasing intimacy, to know that you reign, to know that you will give us that wisdom. You will coach us, you will tutor us to live day by day with you in all our decision-making. So would you speak to us very clearly this morning as we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, please be seated. Okay, we are going through Psalms 23, and we're going this bit by bit, word upon word, line upon line, and we're talking about the seven redemptive names of God in Psalms 23, and we're just barely touching the first name, Jehovah Rohi, all right? And we said that He is our shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, and there are three main things. There are a lot of things, but there are three main things we must get into the details. The Friday before last Friday, which was Good Friday, we talk about the love of the Father God. We need to experience His love continually, okay? And today, we're going to talk about the leading of the Good Shepherd. The leading of the Good Shepherd. And this is very personal, all right? And this leading of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Himself says, "My sheep hears My voice. I know them, they follow Me." We're going to read it again. Jesus says, "My sheep hears My voice." We are His sheep. He is our shepherd. All right? He is our Lord. He says, "My sheep hears My voice." Now, this is a million-dollar question. This is a struggle of every believer, whether you are a three-month-old Christian or 30-year-old Christian or 60-year-old Christian, hearing the voice of God. And many Christians don't have the conviction. They don't have the assurance that they hear God clearly. Okay, so we're going to unpack this, all right? And I want to mention first, all right, there is no comparison, okay? Don't feel condemned and pressured. But take on the posture that you want to learn to increasingly hear God clearly. This is my journey as well, all right? Do I hear Him clearly all of the time? No, all right? But increasingly today, I should hear Him a lot clearer than I heard Him when I was 21 years old or when I was 15 years old. Or when I was 36 years old, all right? So it should get better and better. You become increasingly familiar with His voice. And the other part is very assuring, because He says, "I know them." Do you know that the Lord knows you? Do you know that the Lord is for you? He is not against you. Do you know that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you? All right? I shared just 2 nights ago, Tim Keller, you know, he's diagnosed now with fourth stage cancer. And in his reflection and in an interview just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he says that all his Christianity, all right, has now come to a melting point. It is one thing, he says, to know that God loves him in his head, the Bible verses he can quote. But it is another thing to know that he can experience the love of God personally. And he says that from now till the day the Lord takes him home, he must double, triple, quintuple, multiply a million times his experience of the love of God. There was a speaker last weekend at the church service here, and he says that he's a drummer. All right, don't know whether he's here. And there was a stage in his life he really struggled. He was accused of a number of things. And because he was a drummer, what he did was he hid himself behind the drum. I don't know which drum, whether it's here or hall 2 or chapel. All right, and he remained there for a while. Don't know about the other people, but for him, it was a while. And there was a God moment. He just melted and just had been so assured that the Lord is with him. The Lord will be his vindicator. He just needed to do certain things, all right? And he just experienced the love of God. I'm talking about experience. The Hebrew word is yada, Y-A-D-A. When you hear this word know in the Old Testament, it's yada. The Greek word in the New Testament, when you read, is the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. Go and Google, find out the definition. All right. For example, in Old Testament, Jeremiah 9:23-24, God wants us to know and understand Him. The word know is the word yada, which is personal, experiential. The word know in 2 Peter 1, for example, verse 2-4. How do we grow and receive more grace and more peace? As we know the Father, as we know the Lord Jesus, as we know the Holy Spirit. All right. So this is the emphasis this morning. It's all about decision making and guidance. What is the direction for my life? Why are you working in TERS? Why are you working in the church office? Why are you in kindergarten? All right. Do we know the broad principles, the laws, the instructions? Now, all this is from the Word of God. All right. So decision-making broadly, two broad areas. Number one is from the Word of God. The Word of God gives us the laws, the principles. And it is embedded in the Ten Commandments. No negotiation here. It's black and white. No or yes. The Ten Commandments, you shall not commit adultery. No, no. You shall not lie. No, no. You shall not steal. No, no. All right. You shall not have an idol, anyone, any activity that takes the place of God in your life. So from the Word of God gives us very clear instructions. You shall not cheat. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not lie. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. No negotiation. No need to ask. It's a no-brainer. So for the Christian who struggles, should I commit adultery? All right. It's a no-brainer. The answer is obvious. You don't have to wait for thunder and lightning. You don't have to see a pastor to ask for a word of God, a word of knowledge. Don't have to. All right. There's pseudo-spirituality. There are Christians that goes around looking for a word, that is pseudo-spirituality. So the Word of God comes very clearly. When it comes very clearly, what does it require? Obedience. Let's obey to the Word of God. Let's submit yourself to the authority of the Word of God. All right. So Exodus 20 is about the Ten Commandments. 2 Corinthians 6:14 is about don't be unequally yoked. Don't have someone who has incompatible beliefs about God to be your life partner. Don't even entertain the thought. Hold at a distance. Friends, yes, platonic, whatever. All right. Don't get into intimacy and develop that relationship. Same thing for business partnership. In these last 2-3 years, I just met somebody yesterday. He's not paid his salary for the last how many months? And I heard of somebody else who has joined another partnership and so on and so forth. So we have all kinds of problems in the last 2-3 years because of the pandemic, and then a lot of things have been resetting and so forth. All right, don't be unequally yoked. Romans 12, do not take vengeance. Very clear in the Bible. Treat the person as an enemy. Pray for the person. Bless the person. All right. So all of this is what we call from the word no or yes. All right. But there are a lot of areas in our lives where we need to know the details. Let me just walk us through some obvious examples. So the details of the guidance comes from whom? The Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? He dwells in me. He dwells in you. You and I, we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. And because the blood of Jesus is perfect, the Holy Spirit, He is holy. He dwells in you and me. Where does He dwell in us? Which part of us? In our spirit. He's not in our minds. He's not in our emotions. All right? But He is in our spirit. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 6:17. Our spirit and the Holy Spirit is one. All right? Now, physically, where do you think is somewhere here in the belly? All right? Out of your innermost belly. All right? But it's not a physical location. Out of the core of our being is where the Holy Spirit is. So you need to know that the Holy Spirit is in you. Okay? He gives us the details. And this is called the inward witness or the inner witness. Our spirit bears witness. That means there is an assurance in our thinking, our understanding. There is a feeling. This is the way He's spoken to us. All right. What people call downloads. Right? People call downloads. What people call when you read the Bible, the verse pops up at you. People use different phrases, different synonyms, but they all mean the same thing. This is called the inward witness. When you sense, when you use all these words, sense, perceive, when you're being intuitive, all right? You read in the Bible, Jesus perceived what was in the minds of the Pharisees. He perceived, He sensed the leading of the Holy Spirit. You sense, you perceive, you're intuitive. All these are words to mean the guidance of the Holy Spirit, all right? So don't get stuck with a word, a label. BGR. Let's say for a guy, all right, we've given this example many a times, all right, you're very interested in April, May, and June, okay? So, but April is a non-Christian, all right? So very obvious, from the word, April is out, don't even entertain. Now you're interested in May and June, all right? And for whatever reason, your cell group meeting, your social gatherings, you go for, go and chill out, go and have a coffee, this and the other, you are interested in both, but you're not sure. All right, you're only 23, 24, all right? This is for the guy. The same thing applies for the girls, right? You're looking at Matthew, Mark, or Luke, all right? Same thing, okay? So let's say for the guy, you're looking at now May or June. Now, for whatever reason, one day you were sitting with your mentor, a 38-year-old guy. He says, well, when I was looking for my wife, one of the factors I considered was look at her mother. Example only, all right? But for some reason, what the mentor told you meant a lot to you. Look at the mother. Okay, the next gathering, all right, the whole gang go and visit May's home. All right, plan for that, and after that, go and visit June's home. So you went to May's home, and you were looking around for the mother. And lo and behold, wow, the mother is so attractive. That means in 30 years' time, if you marry May, all right, May will look like the mother, slim and beautiful. All right, by the way, don't take this personally. I'm just giving an example, okay? All right, don't take it out at me, all right? And then you went to visit, okay, now you must find out about June's mother. So you went to June's home. Boy, wow, you saw, you were stunned. You almost fall off your chair. She's just too big. Or whatever. And you picture in 25, 35 years' time, if you marry June, this is how the mother looked. And immediately in your spirit, immediately in your thinking, in your feeling, no, you don't want June. Whereas before that, you were interested in both. You can't make up your mind. But for whatever reason, after you made that visit, May is the answer. So you fell in love with May, you devote more time and energy, you got more, and in the end, you married May. All right? Although this is true, all right? I know of testimonies like that. All right? Example may vary, but this is true. That's how God guides you. All right? I'm going to give a bit more detail. Studies. How do you know whether to go to poly or to go to the academic route? Then you need to know yourself whether you can just the studying type or not the studying type. How do you know whether to take an engineering course or an art course? Is your inclination, whether you incline towards that realm of studies, all right? If you are poor in mathematics and also engineering is out, you love to write, which is why you are in Thirst or Salt and Light, all right? Or you are very good technically in videos, in computers and so forth. You are wired differently from your friend, your colleague, your classmate, your schoolmate and so forth. You go with the flow of the way God has beautifully and wonderfully created you, all right? Your work and career. Why are you working in the church? Why are you working in the BCS? Because you got a passion, all right? Some people, we look at scenario, the elderly. For some people, the elderly, don't bother me, all right? You know what I mean? They may fall, all that. Somebody, they see an incident at the MRT train, you quickly go the other way. You are like the other not-so-good Samaritan, all right? But no condemnation because you cannot handle blood. You cannot handle, all these mess that they went on. But for some people, they'll rush to help out. They see an accident on the road, the motorcycle, the Grab rider fell off and went almost under the lorry, and then there is some people can just rush to the scene and they can do it. But other people cannot. They'll faint. Worse still, they add to the problem. Why? We are wired differently. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. All right? Medical. You went to see the GP. All right? They discovered a lump underneath your armpit. Now, this GP is young. Oh, cancer. The first thing you hear the word cancer, you panic. All right? Fear grips you. You're going to die. You're only 29 years old. What do? You pray. You gabra. You panic. You pray. We've got a lot of people responding to the altar call with these fears. The doctor has diagnosed that it's cancer, but it's not. Then you come at the altar call. Your pastor says, no. Go and seek another opinion. Go to the polyclinic, get a referral to Changi or NUH or SGH, get another opinion. Of course, a proper oncologist will run you through the battery of tests, your MRI, your blood test, your cancer marker, and so forth. And then you discover, oh, it's not. It's just a lump. It's benign. It's just stage one. Do a surgical removal, all right? And then you take very strong antibiotics. You don't even need radiation or chemo. That's it. That's it. This is how the Lord guides you. But we know of people, I know of a lady, all right, a teacher, stage two, but in those days, don't want to see doctor, want to go to a faith healer somewhere in Malaysia. She died. Within 2 years, she died. This is foolishness. I may use the word stupidity. Because you look for that pseudo-spiritual, I call it pseudo-spiritual, where it's a lie and deception that comes through the church, through well-meaning friends, well-meaning elders, well-meaning pastors, but they have not heard the word of the Lord. All right? Now, I'm using fairly strong terms here. Having been walking with God now for 55 years, being around the church scene for a lot of years. All right? And you see this so-called, I use the word inverted quotes, mistakes, folly, zeal without knowledge. That's why you need to discern. You need to hear the word of God for yourself. Dollar upgrade, okay, most of you are young, I won't talk about it. Whether to sell your 5-room HDB flat and downgrade, all right, and whether to move. I know a pastor, he did very well. All right, he got a HDB flat here. After 5 years, all right, it's gone up another 200,000-300,000, sold it, went to buy another flat. Hopefully, in another 5 years, it'll go up. All right, property has been generally going up, okay, went to downgrade. For people who are 60 and above, maybe it's time to sell. Empty nest, your children has grown up, gone to get married. All right, now it's just husband and wife. You look at me, I look at you. You have three bedrooms, all right? You want the disposable income, but you're going to be retiring and so forth. You need to plan your finances. All these details, who will help you? The Holy Spirit will help you. So the Holy Spirit directs our thinking and our feeling. Okay? This is based both on Hebrews 10, 8:10 and Hebrews 10, 16. This applies to Israel in the new covenant God will make with them, and this can apply to the New Testament believer. All right. In a nutshell, in Hebrews 8:10, he says, God says, I'll put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. In Hebrews 10:16, he's put it the other way around. I put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. There are five keywords from the two verses. These are the five keywords. The first keyword is laws. Laws just mean the will of God, the instruction of God, the guidance of God. Okay, that's so to hold the word laws, use Psalms 19, for example, where the word law is known as statutes, ordinances, commandments, guidance, leading, download, and so forth. All right. So laws in general just means the guidance of God for you, the word of God for you. To remain in the job, you're having a hard time. Your boss is giving you a hard time. We know many people like that. Should you remain, start applying for other jobs. Every door closed. God is molding you. All right? So laws. So God's words to you is remain. You go through the fire. I will be you in the valley of the shadow of death. You will learn certain things. You will go through brokenness and so on and so forth. All right, laws. Mind is your thinking. Don't leave your brains behind. God has given us a mind. Call it your intellect. Call it your reasoning faculty. Don't ever abandon it. Faith is a leap in the dark after a reasoned process. It's not completely blah, blah. All right, so your mind is the word understanding, is the word weighing, is the word measuring, that thinking, that thought, that proposal, that plan, and so forth. Use your mind. All right, now I want to make one qualification here. Our minds have to be renewed. Because of our fallenness, we don't think correctly. So the mind, how is it renewed? Romans 12:1. We must submit, commit our minds to the Holy Spirit. Then He will renew our minds. Only renewed minds receive revelation. All right? Because there are Christians who operate, but a lot of them operate out of their natural minds, not their renewed minds. So the qualification here is your renewed mind, which is a mind, natural, but surrendered to the Holy Spirit, weighing it before the Holy Spirit. Your heart is the seat of your emotions. It's the seat of your feelings. That guy had the same feelings for May and June, all right? But until his mind informed him because of that word. For some people, it doesn't matter. The mother-in-law, fat or thin, irrelevant. He's just interested in the girl, right? So different things matter to different one of us because we are made differently, okay? Put, the idea of put is immediacy. If I put this clicker into Paul's hand, he receives it immediately, all right? So sometimes we receive it very quickly. So for example, yesterday I received an email from my guy in Togo, all right? The month of May, all right? Almost four times a year. Every middle month of the quarter, roughly, all right, I'll do a conference. But I told him I will not travel to West Africa anymore. It takes too long on the plane, costs a lot more money, spend more time in the hotel and so forth, and I only minister X number of hours. One-third of the time I minister. Two-thirds of the time I'm on the road, all right? So now he's planning for a pastors leaders conference in May, all right? He gave me two dates, all right? And this is for the pastors and leaders in Equatorial Guinea, all right? I roughly know where Equatorial Guinea is, all right? It's just on the east of Ghana, all right? So immediately, I look at my calendar, I'm available. I just have to shift a couple of things. The time slot, that 9 o'clock is our 4 p.m., all right? Within 2 hours, I say done immediately. But 2 months ago, I received a call from a senior pastor of another church. Can I come over and preach in that particular church? Immediately in my mind, I say, thank you, but I can't because I'm preaching in my own church this coming weekend and my calendar is very full. Right, I was just telling a couple yesterday, this whole year, in fact, the last one over here has been very busy. All right, the circuit breaker, I was born. Circuit breaker, April, May, 2020. All right, can't go anywhere. I was a little bored, wondering what to do, reflecting a lot about life. But since then, the momentum has been. So this decision to say yes or to say no, for me now, is almost immediate. All right, but for some of us, it'll take a while, all right, to work that through. Writing takes time as contrasted with put. Put is immediacy. Writing means God is still writing. That means there is a time period. Now, how long is this time period depends on the issue and depends on you. For example, cancer or no cancer. To do chemo or don't do chemo. To go for a surgery or don't go for a surgery. To go on holiday or not to go on holiday. All right now there is a travel frenzy going on among a lot of Singaporeans. All right, 500,000 people on the Good Friday weekend cross over Johor Bahru. Okay, I mean, no, a lot of people just talking about going over. But one guy was just telling me yesterday, this pastor, he and his wife, he drove through the causeway. It's clear, KSR or KS what? KSL. He says it's just one quarter to one third full. All right, a lot of Singaporeans are still hesitant, but he just went there for his wife, spent the whole day there, and then drove it back in the evening. All right, this is his sabbatical, his break. Okay, that works for him. But for him, it's no-brainer. Just go. Is it safe, not safe? He said, of course it's safe, as far as he's concerned. The Lord is with him. All right, don't do anything stupid. Don't go to the back alleys. Go to the restaurants. Go to the shopping mall. He's safe. Go there safely, come back safely. Perfect. So for him, it's very clear. But for some people, no. Look at all the videos and so forth. So the information you feed is very important. Don't believe every headline you read. Don't believe the newspaper full sale. Don't believe everything on social media full sale. Discern, all right? Now, so this is how God guides us, okay? So decision-making process, zero is no, no adultery, no stealing, no murder, all right? 100% yes, forgive, we must forgive, we must love, we must bless, all right? No-brainer, zero and 100 is from the word instruction. Then we have what we call the no zone and the yes zone. First, for that guy, when he saw the mother-in-law, all right, for May, he falls into the yes zone. He is 80% inclined. Oh, yeah, May is going to be my future wife, all right? But for somebody else, no. No way am I going to get involved with this person. So, how are you inclined? There are two conditions I say here. Number one, you must do Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 continually. What is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust God 100%. And the evidence of your trusting God is to acknowledge Him 100%. That means soak that matter in prayer. That matter whether it's a relationship issue. That matter whether it's a job issue. That matter whether it's a medical issue. That matter whether it relates to your parents, your housing, to upgrade or not to downgrade. That matter regarding what to accept, what to decline. Soak the matter in prayer. Pray before, during, after. Pray. Talk to God. All right? I mean, it astounds me that day at one gathering, the Christian gathering, now you come. It was a 9 o'clock meeting or whatever meeting. If you're not acknowledged or not meeting, now is the time to acknowledge. To me, it's too late. You should be acknowledged or not the moment you're consciously awake, connecting with God. Spirit to spirit, deep to deep, the created in us with the creator God. Learn to commune with God. Talk in your heart, talk in your mind. Talk to God in your spirit, in your emotions, in your feeling. He is God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. Commune with Him. Develop this intimacy with God. All right? And then Romans 14, 23 is the second condition. Once you are inclined in your understanding and in your feeling, that is the decision. Forget about thunder and lightning. It's not going to happen. Forget about that dream that will come in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. You're hoping for that dream that will come. Forget about it. It doesn't happen. If it happens, it's rare and it's a bonus. All right, let me see whether I've got this here. All right, so God desires to always guide and lead us. This is God's heart. He wants to guide and lead us. We are His sons and daughters. We must also desire to be always guided by Him. If you don't desire to be guided by God, then you're on your own. On your own means the natural laws will take its course. But we need to know that God wants to guide you. He wants to guide me. All right, as I transit in the coming months, in the coming years, into this new season, all right, gradually, step by step, okay? He wants to guide me. I want to be guided by Him. And then the area of overlap, as you look at these two overlapping circles, is what we, BBTC, we call the Hallelujah Sector, or what Rick Warren or what somebody else called your sweet spot, where God's will is your will and your will is God's will. You are confident. So for the guy to marry May, confident. For the guy to reject the opinion of the first doctor, he's confident. It's God's will. He shall be healed. But regardless of whoever says whatever, at the end of the day, whatever words of knowledge is given to you, it must bear inward witness. It may be true for the guy having that dream or that word, but it's irrelevant to you if it doesn't bear inward witness. Just reject it. Okay? Reject it, whether it comes from whoever, or a pastor, an elder, and so forth. So be confident. We must always be walking in God's will. That's what it means. So God's will is not something elusive only for a certain category of people. No. Every day we must be walking in God's will. I must be walking in God's will. You must be walking in God's will. If you're not, we are disobedient. We are sinning. So walking in God's will involves all the day-to-day nitty-gritties, our coming in and going out, our jobs, our relationships, our health, what to wear this morning, what clothes to wear, what t-shirt to put on, what pants to wear, where to go for lunch, who to meet for lunch, what do you eat, right? All these are nitty-gritty, personal decisions. God is interested, you are interested, okay? So, a quick overview of these questions that have popped up in the past. Mandata are moral laws that in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, they must be obeyed absolutely. The Old Testament is not obsolete. The Ten Commandments, the moral laws are still relevant. What is irrelevant? The dietary laws. All right. In the Old Testament, the dietary laws, you should not eat seafood, you should not have crab and shrimps and so forth. Enjoy your crab and your oysters and whatever. Because it has been superseded in the New Testament, in Acts, all right, and in Timothy. Okay? Examples. Take note, when you read examples in the Gospels, there are examples used in parables and stories to reveal principles to follow. They are not commands. So I give you two obvious examples here. Peter walking on water. What is the principle there? He was obeying the word of the Lord and his eyes must be fixed on the Lord. The moment his eyes was on the waves, he began to fall into the water. This is not a command. There was a group of students, young people in Korea years ago. They took literally this and they tested this. They all drowned in the river in Korea. God has not commanded us to walk on water. Gravity will work. All right? So use your mind. Secondly, Jesus telling the rich young ruler to sell everything to follow him. You don't have to do so. I've not done that. I've not sold everything to follow the Lord. But I need to pay my tithes, I need to give offerings, and I need to give alms. And I've been faithfully doing that for as long as I remember. All right? It's not just the 10%, you add another 10% for your offerings from your salary, depending on your income sources and so forth. All right? You do that. That is what is commanded, but not to sell everything. But for this rich young ruler, that was his idol. It blocks him from knowing God. So learn to distinguish when you read the Bible. What are mandatas, which is mandates, which are commandments, and what are examples used to illustrate the principle? Understand the principle. Okay? Or the widow putting in her two copper mites. You hear pastors preaching this. Oh, she gave all she have. Well, you can give all you have. But it is not a command. Jesus was illustrating, all right, her giving of all that she had. Her generosity, her lavish love for the Lord. Or the woman who poured and broke the alabaster box. Don't impose this on people. Don't anyhow teach the word of God. You must correctly know God, understand God, and represent God. Whether you're writing an article, whether you're giving a word, an exhortation, all of us are in this ministry of giving the word of God. Don't anyhow represent God. All right? Say, God wants you to sell all you have. You're not giving sacrificially and start imposing on people. You are like the Pharisee. I will be like the Pharisee when we do that. We need to correctly divide the word of God and handle the word of God. Okay? So the Lord will always guide us in the process. And what is the process? This is the three-step process. They must be understand. They must know the facts. What are the facts? What is the word? What is the principle? Secondly, there must be understanding. Weigh the word. Measure the word. You must have clarity. And thirdly, wisdom. That's why we sang the song just now. Lord, give me wisdom, and He will give us what to do, when to do, how to do. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom. If you only have knowledge means, for example, you had a dream. But you don't have understanding, forget about it. You ate too much pizza. That's all. Somebody give you a personal prophecy. It's just a fact. But if your understanding is maybe correct, but you don't have wisdom to apply it correctly, also no use. All these three must align. When to leave the job, when not to leave the job. To believe the word of this pastor who gave you the personal prophecy, if there's no understanding, it totally makes no sense, forget about it. It is not, thus save the Lord. When you do this, you gain confidence. You gain confidence in your relationship with God. Don't be bullied by certain Christians. You know, Christians bully Christians as well by using spiritual lingo. All right? Don't be intimidated by spiritual lingo. All right? The Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. Is that so? All right? Let's get in the room. Let's have that discussion. Did the Lord actually tell you? So be very careful, all right, when you want to represent the Lord. Okay? I hope I've given you enough understanding. I've gone through this in detail. So you're going to break out group and you will discuss these four questions. Thank you, Eunice, for crafting this. Okay? I won't take your time. It's 9:35, 37 on the clock. You can go all the way to 10:15 if you want to. All right? In the breakout groups and then pray and bless one another. Okay? You're on your own.